Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
What does a high-value woman look like?
I want her to be a p***er for just me.
A virgin. Literally, that's it. There's really no winning. But I think a lot of the red pillars pretty much believe there are just very obvious differences between male and female sexuality. They think that means a relationship should be closed on the female's end, but open on the male's end.
If she's making more money being the provider, at a certain point, the man's not going to feel like a man.
Because she earns more, she'll have more of a say. Nico believes that watching porn does destroy family values. Mm-hmm. Instead, he just has sex with many women.
A lot of fraternities on campus? Yeah. Those places are trash. Someone threw up in the sink. None of them wanted to clean this up, so they would keep brushing their teeth. It would fill up with the throw up. That's not very masculine.
Very good. High value man.
And we have Farhad on the episode today.
Hi.
And today we are gonna normalize
the red pill.
No, we need to normalize horror.
No.
Oh, we had being normalize
open relationships.
Female empowerment.
What does that look like? What does that mean to you?
It means... I can't say. What is the rule? Is it 15 minutes? What's the rule?
Yeah. 15 minutes, we can't... Okay. No.
Oh, you get demonetized.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But, we could talk about, just controversial stuff.
That's fine. Let's do it.
Yeah. That's why I had you on the podcast today.
Right.
You've gotten viral for a lot of controversial things.
Like what?
I think I've seen you just talk about, I think actively defending OnlyFans,
mm-hmm.
right? And, but then, you have a lot of these guys who are like, oh, how do you feel? You wouldn't make good future daughters, shit like, right?
Yeah.
What has been the biggest attack towards you for, having OnlyFans?
I mean, red pillars will take it to every extreme. They'll say I'm destroying the nuclear family. The downfall of the West is because of OnlyFans girls, cam girls. I'm setting a example for women. They're going to get into sex. Just any negative aspect of society they'll attribute towards.
Right.
A woman selling pics of herself.
And you're very... Also, I've seen you on these podcasts. You're very, very well spoken.
Thank you.
Yeah. Where does that come from? Did you go to, private school? Were you taught by someone? Are you just innate? What is like?
I did go to private school and boarding school, and I majored in English. But also, I think you see me in settings where I'm surrounded by very inarticulate, dumb men. So it highlights my articulateness a little bit better than it should.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, before we go into the questions, I think it'd be nice if you could just introduce yourself, right. What you do, I don't know, how you got here, what's important to you, just so the audience knows who Farha is.
Okay, so Farha is an OnlyFans creator, onlyfans.com/FarhaKhalidi. She's also a TikToker. I do kind of dating, gender-centered content. I started about a year and a half ago, and now I kind of just go on streams and podcasts and talk about dating and gender so far. Mm-hmm. I'd say that's my bio in a nutshell.
Awesome.
Cool. And yeah, you went on a couple, debates and live streams and podcasts recently, mm-hmm. on Fresh and Fit, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people might have seen you on Fresh and Fit. People have seen you on they would get a group of girls,
yeah,
right? And they were like, oh, you shouldn't be doing OnlyFans. Those type of podcasts, right? What are your thoughts on, I guess,
those types of podcasts?
Are they misogynistic? Are they?
Oh, definitely. They're misogynistic. They're super bad faith. They act as if the reason they're interrogating these women is in good faith because they mm-hmm. genuinely think these women are, doing something bad for society. Mm-hmm. But my thing is, if you're genuinely against porn, you could be bringing on porn directors, mm-hmm. porn industries. There's so many other actors in the sex work industry who you could bring on who actually probably can articulate their position a little bit better, but that's not as glamorous, as glitzy as bringing on what I mean? An 18-year-old girl, right. who's not as super educated and telling her that she's a
Right.
So they're not actually, you know, interested in like bettering society or family values or anything. They just want like an easy dunk. And it's more similar to torture porn, if anything, than it is to actually like a good faith discussion, in my opinion. Yeah.
Fair. And what are your... you also, okay, so you went on Sneeko stream a couple times, right? Mm-hmm. And now that's, I'll be honest, that's my boy.
Yeah.
All right. What have you guys debated about? Curious.
The first time I debated him, it was about my virginity. I was doing a stream with Fresh, and then Fresh didn't believe me. So he's like, I'm going to call in like the boy to investigate you. And then I didn't know who he was bringing. He brought Sneeko, and he was like, Sneeko will be able to discern whether or not you're lying. I don't know why he was the guy to call.
So you're a virgin?
I haven't had penetrative penile sex. Okay. So I guess so. But yeah, he called Sneeko to come investigate. He just like bullied my ex on the phone, called him like a beta for never hitting. So it went from him not believing me to then once he did believe me, just calling my ex kind of like a beta.
Crazy.
Wait, so you had your ex on the phone too?
Yeah, because Fresh wasn't believing me and he was like, okay, let's call your friends and ask. So it ended up, it was neutral at first and I wasn't super familiar with like Sneeko or Fresh at the time. I probably shouldn't have put my ex on the phone because
that's crazy. Yeah. Okay, that makes me angry because that's such a problematic take to me. It's not, because it's not just misogynistic to you, but it's also like doing a disservice to like men. Because what, if you don't, like, it's this idea of like, oh, if you're not dominating a woman, if you're not hitting, if you're not having sex, if you're not whatever, like in control, then what, you're not a real man. And that's such a problematic take to have.
It is. It's also hypocritical because they're like Sneeko and these guys will say like you should be dating virgins and you should be like saving for marriage. And then if I were to say, yeah, we were, then they're just like, oh, he's a cuck. So they don't make any sense.
That's crazy.
But it's good for their audience to see that like you can't win either way.
Right.
Yeah.
Now that's the thing. So they were basically drilling your ex like, oh, why did you hit what like that?
I think so. So again, like the first half was them just not believing me. So they were interrogating him on whether I was lying or not. And then the second half kind of became about Sneeko saying to him, like, how does it feel that like more guys are known to her now than you ever did? Because I have an OnlyFans and stuff. So it was just him kind of like, you know what I mean? Kind of playful, but the undertones are there.
Damn. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that is true. It's like you hitting does not equate to, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because it's like it's about the it's about both of you guys what you guys want together. Right. Now do you think you guys not having sex was more of as a result of him not being masculine or
me and my ex not having sex? I don't know. I think I just got like kind of scared and freaked out by the idea. Uh-huh. I don't know. That was I went to like an all girls boarding school before, so that was like my first time ever dating.
Yeah.
So I think I just, like, I didn't even have my first kiss until I was basically like 19. So I think I just am at a slower pace than everyone else. You know, sure, I don't think it's a reflection on his masculinity.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Sneeko might think so, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm really curious what these people like base their beliefs off of, right? So like you said, you they'll say things like, oh, you're destroying like family values. Mm-hmm. And I'm really curious, like, what do they mean by family values? And like is it like, oh, a nuclear family, like does that mean, yeah, like no sex or marriage and you have children and you have, right, like you stay together, like you don't divorce, like that kind of traditional family? And if so, like honestly, what does porn or like OnlyFans play into that? Because do they think the same thing about porn? And like, because these guys watch porn, no? So like if they watch porn and they off to like women like that are strangers online, is that not the same thing? And is that destroying family values? Because I don't understand where their take is coming from.
Yeah, Sneeko believes that watching does destroy family values. Mm. He thinks like any premarital sexual consumption is destroying it. So instead, he just has with many women. And he says that's more halal. That's his take on the red pill. It's not watching, but still like multiple women, one-sided. Like none of the red pill stuff is consistent.
I do think like if you are overly just in it all the time, I and you're not, you know, using that energy to interact with women in the outside world, if you're not going on dates, if you're not just connecting with real people, I think you're it is destroying family values. I think OnlyFans, like, yeah, the people in charge who, like, made OnlyFans, those are the people at power to do something about it. But at the same time, when you're on OnlyFans and you see, like what is your OnlyFans look like? Is it a bunch of guys, you know, DMing you, like, just, you know, you're having conversations with a bunch of guys? Like, don't you think those dudes right there, I don't know, they're not...
like, doing what they should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I slightly agree. I think the problem is more like addiction to OnlyFans and porn, just like the existence of porn, OnlyFans in itself. So I think if you take away OnlyFans, probably sex work in general, men kind of have to develop a better personality usually to get women. Like,
right.
Obviously not just in terms of like risen game, but usually they have to be like slightly ambitious, slightly good at approaching a woman.
Yes.
But on OnlyFans, it can kind of normalize like really bad game. Like, only on OnlyFans can you approach a woman and say like, you have an amazing body, and then that will not only be tolerated but like rewarded, and you'll get so much attention for that. But like, if you're not having real world experience with women outside of that, and you go up to a woman and say that in the real world, like, you're gonna be seen as creepy and stuff.
Using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's almost like when you forget to mute yourself on Zoom and you're talking about your boss's receding hairline and you realize, oh, he hears this whole fucking conversation. Why do people need a VPN? Because your service internet providers know exactly what you're searching up. And then your service providers can sell this information to giant corporations to then target ads to you. A VPN is a virtual private network that basically encrypts your data, and it keeps your data from being leaked. So ExpressVPN reroutes your network data through a secure and encrypted tunnel, so your internet service provider can't see or sell your online activity. It's very simple to use. Just fire up the app, one click of a button. It works on phones, laptops, and even routers, so everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. And personally, I like using ExpressVPN for the exact reason. It keeps your internet and data secure. With a private network, you could actually access internet from Japan or from Korea or from anywhere in the world. You could access internet to that exact location. You could access shows on Netflix from that exact location. So it's actually very useful if you want to watch shows in other countries and access websites from other countries. Let's say you're booking plane tickets in another country, you can now access discounts. That being said, protect your online privacy by visiting expressvpn.com/downbadshow today. That's expressvpn.com/downbadshow. And you could get an extra 3 months for free at expressvpn.com/downbadshow.
Huh. This is interesting to me because I don't feel like the concept of like porn, like prostitution, like sex work, etc. is like a new thing. I don't think in medieval times, like brothels exist. Like in China, like everywhere in the world, like this has always been something for consumption. This has always been a service, right? That is like that people partake in, and it's normal. And back then, are people also saying the same thing? Like, oh, the existence of brothels like is ruining family values. But it's like, I don't understand why it's just so specific. Like, I think the hatred that I always see is so specific to like OnlyFans women, more so than it is for like porn in general or like prostitution in general. And I think there's just something about like maybe the accessibility of it and like how easy it is to get to that like really angers people. And I think there's a part of it that I think has to do with like just jealousy and envy of like how rich successful you can get, how successful these women are, how much money they're making for something that, right? And I think there is a bit imbalance here because men can't do the same, most of like men can't get on OnlyFans and make hundreds and thousands of dollars, and like maybe there's a part of them that actually wishes they could, but because they can, they take that, they project that like hate and insecurity on you. But like honestly, like can we, like if you could get a bag, if you could get on OnlyFans, make $1 million, and like I'm saying, like you don't even have to post your dick, it's like just thirst traps, like would you not do that?
Well,
if I told you you could be a millionaire right now,
I think the male equivalent these days is the entrepreneurs that do courses for hundreds of dollars, and like, oh, you could be a millionaire today if you right, and there's a lot of that on TikTok. So yeah, I think And that could also be a little scammy too, right? It's like a whole pyramid scheme. Like you teach you how to sell courses. Oh, now I know this marketing fucking thing. Now I'm gonna teach you how to sell courses. And now I'm gonna, you know, get a bunch of TikTok editors and fucking, you know, try to sell my course. So there's scams. I think that could be the equivalent. But I guess it doesn't sit right with me either, right? Mm. I think, but the one other thing is like morally, right? Selling your body has always been deemed as like, you know, not morally just. Is that the right?
Do you deem it that way?
Me personally, no. I think you are your own body. You get to do what you want. You want to make a bag off of it, by all means, right? But I think to your point earlier, why do men shame women for it? It's like always been the service has always been around. Mm-hmm. I think every day girls get to be on OnlyFans now. Mm-hmm. Like you could be like before there was it was like a huge.
Like barrier.
Barrier, like entrance to become a star or to become somebody, right? Nowadays, it's just so accessible. It's also, the service of OnlyFans is not just sex, but it's also intimacy too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's, you're also selling your time with someone. You're sharing like, oh, the good morning babes. Now that you could do that with a girl for OnlyFans.
Yeah, that's not like that novel to the industry of sex work though. Like, I think in 2005, 16% of men were buying sex, and that's like not including cam work, but 50% of them would frequent the same prostitute over and over. And a lot of them said it's because it felt like she was a second wife or something. So guys have always bought intimacy, even if it didn't take the form of getting a good morning text every single day. Like a big part of work is fulfilling the intimacy need for men and his husband.
I mean, I agree. I think it's definitely more prevalent in like sex and porn because it is intimate and it is like sexual, but it's like, I honestly think the problem is honestly like social media in general, right? Like when you talk about like, oh, everyday women are getting on OnlyFans. It's like everyday people in general are just getting online. They're becoming content creators. They're becoming TikTokers. They're putting their lives out there. And like, kind of this like selling attention. Like think about Twitch. Like that's Twitch as a platform is I'm putting my life for you to watch 8 hours straight. I'm giving you my attention. You pay me $5, you subscribe to me. I'm gonna say, thank you, Jimmy. Thank you for the $5. Yeah. Thank you for the 50 gifted subs. You're the best, man. I appreciate you so much. And like, there's so many parasocial like relationships that happened, right? With like streamer and their viewers, especially where like stalkers happen. Like people like genuinely think they're in relationships with content creators because that interaction is so constant every day. And people are so, I mean, they're so attention starved, right? That they get a thank you from a streamer and they fall in love and they think that's their girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's specific to OnlyFans, but I do think OnlyFans, Twitch, I mean, really any social media platform at this point that like has interaction starts having these things. And I think the problem is just that people are lonely and people don't know how to talk to each other.
Yeah.
And then you just give them like, yeah, it's kind of like you get on the internet and this like wild place with no rules and like people jump into it head first and like they get into these problems. But like even like with AI today, and I'm sure you read some of this stuff, right? But like have you seen the Snapchat creator that created an AI bot of herself and made like $72,000 in a week or something? Because a bunch of people are like, like just having like phone calls with this like AI bot and like texting and like feeling like they have this girlfriend now, even though it's like completely fake.
Did they know it was a bot or no?
Yeah. Oh, it's like, oh, it's this bot that's trained off of this girl, but it's like a bot that's answering their questions. But like, even like Replica, right? If you know Replica, it's like, it was this app that like kind of blew up too, and it's just people getting to talk to this fake like, it's like the whole premise of her, like, oh, I'm falling in love with my like AI bot, I'm falling in love with like my Siri, because they just don't have anyone to talk to. And even if it's a fake person, that's like enough for some people. And I don't know if the blame is to be put on like
the OnlyFans
girls, or like the streamer or the whatever. I think it's like there's a deeper problem here in society where like people don't know really how to talk to each other anymore and how to have interactions. And like, I wish we started there instead of like shaming people for trying to find, you know, like ways to feel okay.
Yeah. So what do you think is actually the what do you think men need in society? Like the guys that are paying for your OnlyFans, what do you think they need realistically?
Yeah, I think a lot of them just need friendships. I don't know if it's the case that all of them are entirely lonely, because I don't know if you have this experience, but a lot of guys who go on OnlyFans or FanHouse or Fansly have girlfriends and wives, sadly. So I don't know if it's necessarily that they're just in like a deficit of, you know what I mean, like female connection. I think a lot of it is just addiction. I think this isn't specific to men, but they just, obviously the way it affects men and women is different. I think just in our generation in general, people have just an addiction to like instant stimulation. And it even affects me. Like, obviously, I don't know if you guys relate to this, but being self-employed and like working online, I interact with way more people online on a daily basis than I do in person. And then because of that, it affects the way, it like completely fucks up the way I socialize in person. So then when I go get lunch with friends, my barrier for stimulation is so high. And that's not sexual, that's emotional and social, but it fucks me up because then I feel super bored in the moment. I want to go on my phone. And, but then if I were to spend a week with them, I feel so much better after the week. Have to just kind of push through.
Right.
So I feel like it's the same thing on the sexual side. Like it's going to fuck up these guys in the long run if they're constantly seeking like sexual relationships in this really like flattened way.
Right.
So I think what men need in general is to just, I don't know, just like overpower
self-control.
Overpower their need for stimulation for just like long-term gratification instead of short-term. I don't know if it's necessarily that men are being like disaffected, like the, you know, incels aren't getting enough. You know what I mean? Because I think everyone's just being affected by like overstimulation.
That's why I advocate a lot for a lot of self-help YouTubers out there who like promote stuff like the dopamine detox or like a lot of like monk mode, like a lot of like a positive like, you know, reinforcement to help men get out of, you know, their addictions, rather than attacking, you know, OnlyFans girl. Like I like those type of
I agree. No, I think that's so much more productive. Like I've seen stuff where like don't start your day on your phone, because you're immediately fucking up your dopamine receptors. You're like starting off your day with like, oh, this is how high on dopamine I have to be. And if you go into the rest of your day and it's not there, you lose energy so quickly. But it's the same thing. And it's like, I don't know. I guess kind of going back to what you were talking about earlier, but I'm really curious, can you define like these red pillars to me? Like, because I don't interact with people like that a lot, but it's like, what do you mean when someone is like, when someone says like, oh, I take the red pill?
I'm so brain broken by like interacting with red pilled people. So I'm like, oh, it's so nuanced, but it's really not.
Right.
Because I've just seen so many of them. I think a lot of the red pillars pretty much believe there are just very obvious differences between male and female sexuality. And on depending how deep you're on the spectrum, if you're like a fresh and fit level, they think that means a relationship should be closed on the female's end, but open on the male's end, because, you know, that's just their biological imperative, is to just knock up a lot of women. Again, I'm so numb to all this. I love seeing your reaction to it.
Yeah, it's open relationships only for the men.
Yeah.
And closed for the girl, because women are biologically wired to just be with one man, and then men were supposed to fuck everybody.
Basically, the red pill just means that like the way society is structured, it's in a way that maybe favors women, and men are the ones kind of being disaffected socially. Like women are the ones put on this pedestal, but men are actually the ones being screwed over because they have to work to provide, versus women naturally have value. Men are always going to be attracted to women, even if they're working at McDonald's, versus a man has to earn his value. And because of that, because he has to earn it, he should have more sexual leverage because he actually had to do something, versus the women are all kind of like interchangeable, but the man had to, you know what I mean, earn his glory. There's so many holes in it,
I will say this though, like I have read a lot into that like community, and I have learned certain things that I think are true. Mm-hmm. I think there are certain things in the red pill that like defines gender roles and gender dynamics that I'm like, no, like this should be the case. I think men should like, I still do believe like traditional values, like men should be the provider. Mm-hmm. I like yesterday, you know, we have a friend, Gloria. We were kind of having a debate over lunch about, you know, she, you know, makes six figures, she makes X amount, And she's also a pretty tall girl. So I just know like her dating pool is just a lot smaller for her to feel feminine, right? Because she was saying like, oh, I'm cool with a guy just at home taking care of the household, you know, while I go out and be the breadwinner. Right. But I feel like I don't think that's gonna lead to a functional relationship. I think she now has to go against her natural biological wiring to I'm now gonna provide for the family. Right. You be a stay at home dad, mm-hmm. right? And she's like, no, like if that just works for us, that just works for us. But I'm like,
that's interesting.
I don't know. I don't know.
What do you see as like the issues, like the obstacles in them working that out?
I think if she's making more money and she's going out and being the provider, taking on the masculine role, then I think at a certain point, the man's not going to feel like a man. I think the dude is going to be like, oh, babe, I want to go buy a car I really want. She's like, no. No, like I think this household needs da-da-da.
Okay, right? So the way you see it, because she earns more, she'll have more of a say over his actions.
Over the household and his actions.
Because he'll be using her money to spend it.
Basically, yeah. And I think it puts him in more of a like a feminine role, like more of a submissive role, right? And I think gender dynamics, like it makes people more comfortable. I don't know.
You don't think she might be equally as uncomfortable if the roles were reversed and she had to kind of get his permission to maybe go get a car? Like, or do you think that's more natural, so the woman's not going to feel uncomfortable leaning on her man?
I think it's she's going to be I think she's going to be more comfortable being in her feminine.
Interesting. This take is interesting to me because I think
I don't think she necessarily like wants a fucking sports car as badly as her man does.
I think that's the beautiful thing about human nature, right? Is like I think it's very much 50-50 nature versus nurture, right? Mm-hmm. Like we have a certain things of like a set of genes that we're born with and like these things we're predisposed to do. But the fact that we're humans is because we make conscious decisions sometimes to go against our biology even, right? And like, I mean, like we live in a society where like you say, like, oh, he might feel less of a man. Like we live in a society where like transgender people exist. Some like gender is fluid. Sometimes people are like, yeah, I don't want to be a man or I don't want to be a woman or I want to feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. And it's so like, right, like I am fascinated by psychology. I love psychology. I love biology. I love like learning where like certain things come from. Like we talk about a lot of this stuff, right? Like with like, yeah, the differences between men and women. Like, oh yeah, men were evolved to like, yeah, like want to fuck a lot of women because that's how you like can guarantee your offspring, like your genes are spread. Sure. But like,
what, hey, if you want to fuck a lot of dudes?
No, but then we evolved to like, hey, but into this like monogamous kind of household, mm-hmm. because that's what we figured, hey, this is what is fulfilling or this is what makes us happy. Yeah, we adapt
to our times.
Right, like there are people that are monogamous, there are people that are polyamorous, mm-hmm. and it is so, right, like what people choose, like, it's a little like choose your own adventure, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, like your biology says a certain thing and like you're socialized a certain way, but at the end of the day, we all get to choose. And I think that's awesome, right? And we all get to figure out what works for us. Mm-hmm. Like, and I feel like with my life too, like so many of like the what's norms or like what is the structure is so turned upside down because like I provide for my parents. I provide for my father, right? And like, I take a lot of pride in that. I feel great in that. And my dad is very proud of me, right? It's not, I don't know. And like, does it make him feel less like a man? Does it make me feel like a man? Because I don't know, but are we happy? And like, do we love each other as a family? Yes. Right. And like, I think I have a great little family. Like, even if it's like untraditional or unconventional.
Yeah.
And so it's, I don't know, it's really interesting for people if they're but all
not,
like.
Now being that you do that, wouldn't you want like in a relationship, wouldn't you want a man that now could provide for you, make you feel like, oh, I don't have to do all this. Now, what if like a guy makes X amount where he could provide for his family and your family, right? Because like give it up to you. You're the co-founder. There's not a lot of guys who could even
match that
level. So like for your dating pool almost is a little bit smaller for you to feel like
feminine side.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, but when you do meet a guy like that,
right?
That's when I feel like you feel the most comfortable and you feel like
Do you feel like that's the case? Like, what's your dating history like? Do you usually date guys who make more or less than you? I don't know what your income status is, but...
I've done both. Like, I've dated guys who... I don't know, like, or, like, a lot of times you're in school. Like, a lot of my relationships, right? I'm only two years out of college. Like, a lot of our relationships are just, like, you're both, like, broke college students or, like, whatever. But I don't know. I feel like a lot of times we're on, like, equal footing. Like, we have jobs that pay similar amounts. And, like, sure, like, I mean, I love being feminine, too. Like, I love wearing my pretty dresses and going out on dates and, like, being taken care of. Like, I think a lot of women do. But I just, yeah, I just think it's never, like, you can never just stereotype an entire group of people and be like, this is what they want. Like, yeah, me, yes, actually, I do want a family. Like, I actually would love to be a stay-at-home mom someday. Like, I think I'd love to cook. I'd love to, yeah, I'd love to just, like, provide and take care. And, like, yeah, and that's just a part of me. But that's not a part of, like, every woman. And, like, nor should you expect that from, like, every woman. And, like, it doesn't make someone less of a woman if that's not what they want. You know?
I guess his point was kind of like you just described, your parental child relationship maybe feels a little bit reversed, because typically with, like, Americans, their parents provide for them. I'm in the same boat as you, where I make more than my parents. They're immigrants, like, minimum wage workers, so I'm gonna, like, look out for them and stuff. But then you were saying you don't know how it makes your dad feel. So same way he was saying that couple, the guy might feel emasculated because he has to lean on the woman. Yes, they could do it, but I guess his point is, like, similar to the example with you and your dad, do you think you guys would feel more comfortable? Like, he'd feel more emasculated, you'd feel, you know what I mean?
Right.
He'd feel more honored if he was the one who got to fulfill that role.
I mean, maybe, but, like, who cares is my point. Because what this is works, too. Like, we're happy. Yeah. We love each other. We're able to take care and provide for each other. And, like, and it works. Like, and I'm just saying there are lots of different definitions of, like, these things that can work for people. Like, it doesn't have to be one way for it to be a real family or, like, like, family values. Like, right? Like, yeah, what the fuck does family values mean? Like, that the man has to be the head of household or it's a dysfunctional family? Like, because I would disagree with that.
I think there's not enough maybe education for guys to lean on. There's, like, I think guys are just... They need really good role models, and a lot of times they don't have that. And that's why, you know, Fresh and Fit talks about being a high value man, right? Because quite frankly, I don't think there are a lot of that.
And like good male role models. Yeah, good role models. That's kind of why Andrew Tate, like, rose so much, as people felt like masculinity was being attacked. Like, we were just kind of, like, broad stroke labeling all masculinity as toxic and bad and not showing healthy examples of masculinity. It felt like people were kind of pushing men to feel more feminine. So then people overcorrected and the pendulum swung the other way.
Right.
So what do you think, like, a really healthy masculine role model would look like? I think, what kind of traits would they embody?
I think there's, I don't know if there's a YouTuber that I watch, Iman Gatsi. I think he's some of his videos, like the things I talked about, you know, he makes videos about, like, you know, how to cure addictions, like monk mode. He talks about, he has clips of him talking about, you know, just on dates, you wanna pay for the dates, you know, you wanna be you know, if you don't make X amounts, don't go on dates. Work on yourself first. You know, stuff like that, I think really, like, resonated with me. And yeah, for me personally, I preach a lot of, just, you know, going to the gym, working on yourself. I think stuff like that, Andrew T also talks about, right? You know, fucking hit the gym. Yeah. And there's, most of America is so fucking overweight. That's a problem, you know? What else?
What do you think the woman should do prior to going on a date? So, like, the man should get his income in order. He should work out first. Like, or do you think women just should just come as they are? Like, what are the good feminine traits?
Well, that's where, like, some of the Rip Hill stuff is like.
That's where they fill in with, like, oh, body count, loyalty. Those are the only two important things. Because they're like, those are the two things. Like, we have to do all this shit. We have to, like, become millionaires, work out. Literally all you have to do is just, like, keep your legs closed. And then that's why so many guys subscribe to that. Because they're like, that's so easy compared to, like, going to the gym or starting a business.
What guys have to do.
Yeah. Right? Do you feel that way? Do you feel like modesty and isn't too much to expect from a woman? Or, like, what do you expect from a girl you're going on a date with after you, you know, are paying and all this?
Yeah, or, like, adding on to that, like, if a woman has a high body count, do you respect her less? or like, right, like, do you
this
feel
is
like
a safe space?
Yeah, do you feel like there's an ideal body count for you? Or like if someone's a virgin, like, does that make her
okay? I wouldn't do a virgin. I think a lack of experience. Like, here we go. I want her to be a porn star for just me. Mm. Here's the thing. Sometimes it's almost scary too. Like, if I'm dating a girl, and maybe she has a low body count, but she's done a whole shit ton of stuff with her ex. Mm. Oh my god, I don't want to hear about that either.
Oh, that's more intimidating.
That a little bit, right?
Maybe she just had like a string of casual hookups.
No, not even a string. Maybe she had like her body count's 4 or 5, right? But then she dated one guy for like 3 years, and she, like, they just did the craziest, kinkiest shit together.
Sure.
And yeah, and like, oh man, maybe one day she pulls up a sex tape, like, oh shit, where is this? Right? But right, like, she could be like super freaky with the guy.
Sure.
Wouldn't that also make you fucking uncomfortable? You know what I'm saying? So I maybe see. Just not knowing her sexual past.
Sure.
Is where I'm at.
Okay, so you said you don't want a girl with no experience, but you also don't want her to have. Had yeah. been too experienced yeah. with her ex.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious though. Let's say you meet a girl and she has the exact same sexual experience as you do. Like, same body counts, done the same things with her exes. Would you judge her for that? Would you be like, that's too much?
Oh shit. Well, here's the thing. Here's a tip for you ladies, all right? Maybe you just don't reveal that much. Maybe just...
You'd prefer that.
Huh?
You'd prefer that.
Okay. If I'll be honest, I prefer, you know, just... Not knowing.
Okay.
All right. Even if you do have it, like a crazy sexual past,
right?
You know, like, don't tell your man that.
Right. And why? Is it because it makes you feel insecure?
It makes guys feel uncomfortable. Period.
Do you think even if she didn't tell you verbally, like, you would figure that out in the bedroom? How experienced she is, anyway.
I don't know. Maybe
you would just think like, oh, this is the first time.
Yeah, this is the first time. Maybe we just get each other. Maybe this is like sexual chemistry is crazy. But I do think, yeah, like the, I mean, I'm just one guy though.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of guys. Right.
That makes sense. I'm really curious on what you were saying about this though, like about these guys saying that they have to be high value in all these ways. All women have to do is quote unquote, like, keep their legs closed.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's true. Mm-hmm. I think that society expects a lot more from women than that. Like, we have to like, I don't know, we have to take care of people around us. We have to like, I don't know, like, please people. Like, we have to, you know, like, there's a lot of expectations. Like, even in a family, like, the older sister has to provide for, like, things like that. Like, there is a lot of caretaking that is expected from women.
Yeah, I think, beyond that, it's, I do think I would want a woman to be in their feminine side and have that feminine energy with me because you know stuff like cooking around the house, maybe, you know, while I'm out laboring, while I'm out doing man shit,
right,
you're you know, maybe doing the laundry for me, like, look at this place, it's a fucking mess, I need a woman in my life, you know. So it's like but you know, I would say I'm doing relatively well on social media, but look, this crib is a fucking mess.
But if you're making so much money, why not like
get a maid, right?
Yeah, and then also have a really good relationship with your girlfriend. Don't you think she'll resent you if she feels like you're like bang maid a little bit?
Mm.
Yeah. I feel like I know so many female friends that have talked about like feeling like they were their partner's mom. Mm-hmm. Like
and that kills attraction. If you start to see a guy in like a familial way, like a brother or son, some girls really enjoy that, like nurturing role. For me personally, if I feel like I have to like mother guy, it's the biggest turn off.
Mm.
Right.
But if a woman's super feminine, maybe she'll, you know, find some relish in that.
Right.
Do you think you would? Or do you think you'd lose attraction like cleaning and cooking for a guy all the time?
I mean, I think a man needs to be independent, right? Like, he should be able to take care of himself. Right. But like the whole part of being with a partner in general is like, you get to do things for this other person that like you like. Like, it's, and it's not just cooking and cleaning. It's like all the love languages, right? Like, I like to take my partner out on dates too. I like to buy them gifts. I like to do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's give and take. And like, in turn, they also do it for me. And I think that's the balance there. But I just, I don't know. I don't understand this whole concept of like high value. Like, what is a high value woman look like to, like, is that a thing?
A virgin. Literally, that's it. They say that, but that's not really true. Like, they also obviously want a woman who's like super attractive.
Yeah. Right.
Which means like she's putting effort into her appearance, but if they're putting too much effort, then they'll consider you like a hoe, kind of. So, like, there's really no winning. But it sounds like you both kind of want like traditional roles, because you say eventually down the line you'd want to be a stay-at-home mom, and right. you'd want, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But what do you think is like a high value woman?
I don't really subscribe to like the red pill.
Right. Yeah, sure.
I don't know. I it's weird because like when I hear high value, I like just associate it with that. Yeah. I don't know if I would call someone like a high value. I think anyone who's able to kind of like provide for themselves and be successful. So kind of like the opposite of the way these conservative men see it, because they want a woman who's more feminine. But for me, like, I find it super attractive when men or women are just like on top of their shit. Like, I think it's super cool that you own a company, for instance. I would call you a high value woman.
I think the concept of high value to me should just be gender neutral, right? Yeah. Like, is this person like good qualities? You like, is this person ambitious? Is this person caring? Is this person like, right? Like, do they take care of the people around them? Like, are they independent? Do they take care of themselves? Like, I think that's the thing that you should want in both a male or female partner, like in general. And so it's really weird to me that it's, for whatever reason, to these guys, it's separated.
Super
and it's
asymmetrical,
like,
yeah.
So you don't think there are, you subscribe to any type of gender roles at all?
I probably do, just not ones that kind of relegate women to the household and just like base their value off like their modesty, their cleaning status, their motherhood roles. And then I don't subscribe to in that like caveman-y of a way, I guess.
Okay. But in more of a like submissive and like that type of way, where it's like you know, you feel like a woman, you're holding onto his arm like on a date, that kind of way, and you're not just like, okay, we're both strutting down the block, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know if it's a gender role thing for me. I think people in general kind of like put on a mask when they go outside. For me, I feel like in my day-to-day life I have a very like masculine dominant personality, so if I could be dating someone ideally who I could be more like submissive and feminine with, then I would find that like super attractive, and that would turn me on a ton. But hopefully they'd feel the same way too, right?
They could
also be more vulnerable.
But
do you think the man should be kind of like a little bit less vulnerable around the woman to like preserve some of his masculinity?
I think so. I don't think, you know, men shouldn't cry, you know, I think, yeah, like if something struck a chord in me and I don't know, like I just failed a business or something like that, that I just lost a loved one, my dog died, I'm crying. I'm
but it'd have to be a more like extreme thing like that.
I don't know, like it. Yeah, I think if it's like every day, like I'm just going through it, I feel I'm hitting the gym. You know what I'm saying? I'm going for a run. I'm doing something that like I'm not leaning on to my woman to help have her help save me. But I'm going for a drive. You know, like maybe in the car, something will come out. But I'm good. You know, I'm taking my ass to the gym, and then. Yeah, I'm figuring my shit out.
That's really interesting, because I've heard a lot of guys say that the reason they love having a girlfriend is because they can't be super emotionally vulnerable with their male friends, because you know, masculinity is kind of a competition within like male peer groups. So their girlfriends, where they can like let it out in a way that doesn't feel gay, but you don't feel that way. So what do you see as like the benefits of having a girlfriend besides like the sexual intimacy?
I think I'd still like I still like talking to a girl, but I'm not crying, and I'm not relying on that person to like help like save me. I might you know, I'll still talk it out, I'll still answer, but the super I think a lot where guys fuck up is sometimes they rely on their girlfriend to help save them. Like, oh, they're a little bit more codependent on like, oh, I need her in my life. Or else, da da da. Like, no, you. At the end of the day, like, you are gonna pull yourself out of whatever thing you're going through. Like, you have a failed business. You like, she's not gonna fucking partner up with you and help. You know, you are gonna figure this shit out.
Is it fully independent, or would you kind of also turn to your male friends for some help?
I would. Yeah, I would also turn to my guy friends. Like, they would probably give me some more. You know, just like, I don't know, like logistical advice on how to get my shit better. But for my girl, I was like, yeah, like sucks, you know. But
I've heard more extreme examples from this. Again, I'm so brain broken from talking to red pillars, where they're kind of similar. They're like, iron sharpens iron, but like you can't be sharp. Iron isn't sharpened by a feather. Right. So there's no point going to women for your, this is what they say. I love your reactions, but they said there's no point going to women for like support, because she's just going to emasculate you. She's going to be like, oh, let's sit on the couch and eat ice cream. That's how you'll feel better. Versus men will be like, let's hit the gym. Let's like start a business, whatever. So some red pillars will even advise men to not ever live with their girlfriends or wives, and to only live in like high value man houses to make sure their iron is always sharp and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's any validity to that? That like maybe living with a woman, because how are you going to hide your tears if you're living with someone? So right. How do you do that? Do you go to the car and then cry there?
Right. So I'm at a place where like, I know what they're talking about, but that is like definitely like an extreme case. Like, you know, if I'm gonna marry someone one day, yeah, of course I'm live with them. But I do think that there are certain spaces where I'm not gonna rely on them. Like, I'll vent to them, da da da. Like, I've cried to my girl because mm-hmm. like a video flopped. Mm. no, like I've, you know, I put a lot of fucking money into the video.
Yeah,
it flopped. This shit sucks, you know. And you know, she was there, she let me vent it out, but then
how'd you feel afterwards?
Here's the thing, right? I felt better. Mm-hmm. I felt better, but it's almost like in that state, like if I just stayed with that state. If I just, okay, tomorrow I'm just going to hang out with her. I'm just going to, you know, like, just, yeah, I guess mope on the couch with her. That's not going to do anything for me.
Yeah.
You know? Right. But then what ended up happening was like, okay, now I think I went to like a business seminar afterwards. And I took notes. I like went back. Like I talked to certain mentors. Like that helped me get back on my footing.
Yeah.
Right. But a lot of guys, they just, again, extreme examples, mm-hmm. you know, just their girl will just make them a beta bitch and they won't.
Yeah. So you can vent to her, but you have to kind of like stay on your toes and make sure you're not going to.
Right. Yeah. Like vent to her, like for a quick, like, you know, hot minute.
Yeah.
I'm venting to her, crying a little bit, and then just like, all right, cool. I'm going to get my shit together.
I'm curious what your thoughts are on therapy then. Do you see it the same way? Like, or do you think it's unhealthy?
I personally, I've done therapy. I don't think it's that helpful. I think life coaches and are better.
How come?
I think mentors and life coaches are better because they're more forward thinking. They're more, okay, they're more proactive.
Than thinking about like, let's focus on these childhood issues.
Let's focus on the feelings. Let's focus on like talking about it. No, like, okay, talk about it, sure. And now what do we have to do?
Yeah. What do you think about that? Do you think therapy just kind of has you like just fester in your feelings for too long?
I mean, I've done both, right? Mm-hmm. Like I've done therapy and I've also had like executive coaches. And I don't know. I actually think both of them are very, it's like reflective in both ways. It's like, okay, yeah, why are you feeling the things that you're feeling? Why are you struggling with the things that you're struggling? Like, it's like, the first step to changing is understanding yourself, right? Yeah. And understanding why you have the problems that you do. And then, I think even with therapy, it's two-part. Like, and maybe it's just like, maybe you haven't had a good therapist, but sure. I really love my therapist because the next thing he'll get to is like, okay, so now we figured out this pattern. Do you want to change it?
Right.
Like, do you want to do this differently?
Right.
And then it's like, kind of like, there's action there, right? That I can go back and like, hey, here's what, right? Like, oh, if you want to build better relationships with your friends, why don't you reach out to like 5 people this week? Why don't you know, do these things and see how it feels? So I don't know. I don't think it's all like therapy isn't all just feeling zone sometimes. Like I think it's about like improvement and self-improvement too. So I don't know. Yeah, I'm a fan of both. I'm a fan of like therapy and I'm a fan of coaching.
I'm a fan of struggle and you picking yourself back up. Like the more you get hurt and you could pick yourself back up, the stronger you get.
I agree with that.
A lot of guys, they're so fearful of putting themselves out there, making a move, you know, that they just don't do it. And then when they get hurt, when they get shut down, that's so painful.
I agree. But again, I think that's why for me, it's like all of these lessons and themes are gender neutral. And I almost feel like putting the gender lens on it where it's like, oh, the whole ironing, sharpening shit that you were saying with like, oh, you can't go to your, I mean, that's gender neutral. It's like also like when a girl gets out of a relationship and she's crying and she's sad and she goes to her girlfriend's, yeah, like we'll eat ice cream together, we'll cheer. And then it's like, go be a bad bitch again. Like, go do your fucking makeup. Let's go out. Like, we're going to rock up shit. Like, let's go to the gym. We're going to look hot. We're going to do stuff. Like, women can sharpen too. It's not just, right? It's like, in general, like, there are people that'll make you complacent and there are people that, like, push you to grow and you want to surround yourself with things like that. And I don't know, like, there's a Vietnamese saying that my mom used to say to me so much. But it's like, oh God, how is it? It's like, gần mực thì đen, gần đèn thì sáng. So it's like, if you're around ink, it will darken you. And if you're around light, it will brighten you. And it's just like, it's just the concept of surrounding yourself with good people, right? But it's not like, oh, you can't be with your girlfriend or you can't be with, like, that's just bullshit to me. Mm-hmm. That's just bullshit to me. Like, if you're with a good partner, no matter who they are, they will uplift you and they'll make you a better person.
No, I completely agree. And like, I also don't like what they're saying because they're also implying that like all male friendships are just naturally healthy. But it's like, you could be in a bad place and your male friends could be like, oh, let's just go to the strip club. Like, let's waste time video gaming, you know?
Legit, some of the, like some of the like a lot of male spaces, like a lot of fraternities on campus, those places are like trash, never taken out. Like, oh my God, who told me this story? It's like these guys who lived in the house and they, like someone threw up in the sink. And none of them wanted to clean that up. You didn't tell. It wasn't you.
But it's disgusting.
Well, none of them wanted to clean this up. So they just left this clogged sink. But they needed to use the sink. So they would keep brushing their teeth and like spitting into the sink. And it would just fill. It would fill up with the throw up until it got to the point where there's like mold. There's like things living in this water. And they had to, they had to like scrub it out. And I'm like, that's not very masculine, like.
It's not very good, high value man.
That's not a very high value man to keep throw up in the sink.
Yeah.
Not very high value of you guys.
No, that's so true though. You can have like really filthy, like sedentary friends regardless of gender. That's so true.
Get it together, Kappa Sig. Now,
I'm curious. So pivoting a little bit, Farah, but I'm curious what your take is because you're in this world and I'm a little bit like, I used to be an OnlyFans creator too, right? Like I co-founded a platform too where people make money through like interactions with each other online. So I think about this a lot between what is like healthy interactions and what is unhealthy. But like with what you do, like, do you ever feel like it does affect your life? Do you ever feel like it does affect your personal relationships? And like, how do you draw boundaries and balance between what you do and like what is work and then what is like your life, right? Like that separation.
I don't know if you feel this way, but I think oftentimes when guys are subscribing to your OnlyFans, I mean, I'm more curated online, so I feel like when people subscribe to me, it's more for like a fantasy. Do you kind of feel like you're yourself online?
I curate too. Like I'm very particular about what I choose to put online and what I don't. And like, honestly, a lot of the stuff I do put online are jokes. Like I never actually review personal things about my sex life. Like I was in a relationship for 2.5 years and nobody fucking knew because that was my business. It's just like what I'll put online is just like, oh, I like sex. And then I word it in a way that's funny. But like, you don't actually know what kind of sex I'm having.
Or like when you're having sex.
Exactly.
They just know you're a very like sexual
person. So it is definitely a persona to some degree. And it's not like it's inauthentic because that's like me and it's things I like. But it's not like you don't even know my name is Rosie online. Like that, to me, like that's my separation, right?
Yeah.
Is like what's funny and will make people laugh. I'll put it on. And the rest of it is my life.
Yeah. In terms of how has it affected my personal relationships, I haven't been in a relationship since starting in OnlyFans. I started in like September, but when I was in LA, I was trying to like meet more people because I didn't know anyone out here. So I went on a date every single day for like 2 months straight. I think Eric might have told you that.
That's how he introduces me to people.
He's like, this is Farah. She went on a date every day for like 2 months just to try and meet people. And it was good for like my TikTok script writing because, you know, I talk about like gender roles and stuff and like kind of just quote guys for like dumb shit they say.
Right.
So I told them, like a lot of the guys, I had an OnlyFans. So I got like a spectrum of responses. A lot of them would just kind of like tear me down for it and just say like.
During the date.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I made the mistake. I don't do this anymore. I made the mistake when I would go on these dates of telling the guys if they'd ask how much I was earning, I would tell them. And then I realized a lot of it was kind of jealousy. Because a lot of these guys, if they weren't in the industry and just had like a normal job, I think they'd just get, just want to feel like maybe I needed their approval a little bit. And if they found out like, okay, I kind of have this like successful business going on, now suddenly they're like, oh, well, you know, it's going to make it like harder for you. Or like, what if you have kids one day? What if they see this content? Or like, what if a future partner doesn't want to see it? And I always felt like that came after they kind of found out the income, because they wanted to kind of make me feel like it's not worth it.
Right.
So I think what I learned from that is, I think if I'm going to date someone, I feel like they either need to be super, super understanding and non-judgmental, or they have to be in the industry. Because I've noticed like TikTok guys, YouTube guys, like have a, dating a girl with an OnlyFans is like dating a girl with an Instagram. Like they don't find it strange at all.
Right.
Like most of the TikToker guys I would talk to were the ones who were like, oh, you should get on OnlyFans. Yeah. And I was the one hesitant about it. And they were like, oh, there's nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's nothing worth stigmatizing it for.
No, I agree. I think a lot of it is just like a lack of like understanding really of what it really is and what it entails, like, and I think this is interesting. I mean, like, right, like when I had an OnlyFans too, it was just like I definitely felt like I was just treated differently, and it was, and it was particularly interesting to me because I think there, like, people stereotype OnlyFans girls as like, it's always it's the same thing, oh, like these whores, they like don't have an education, they can't get a job, and so they do porn because they're not good at anything, they have no father figure, like those are the stereotypes, like those are the messages I was getting all the time. And that's why my clapbacks do so well, because it's so funny, because I graduated valedictorian of high school. I had a perfect 4.0 GPA. I got a full ride to an Ivy League school, graduated with a 3.92 there too. I got an investment banking job in finance, six-figure salary, and I was doing that on top of my OnlyFans to provide for my family because my parents are disabled and don't work. So I'm doing all of the things that like guys are like, oh, women should be doing, right? And like, I was in a committed relationship. Like,
so what's your arguments?
Exactly. And I'm like, but all of a sudden, because I have an OnlyFans, now suddenly I'm a low-value woman. Suddenly I'm like, and it's like, you can do every, that's why, like, to your point, like, you, there's no winning. Like, you can do everything right, but it's like, if you, whatever the thing is, then you're not, like, worthy to people anymore. And that's why I spent a lot of time, like, trying to disprove that. I think that's a part of the reason why I doubled down on being sexual online. Because I'm like, there's nothing wrong with being sexual. Like, even if I'm not doing OnlyFans anymore. And this is, oh, this is the funny part too. This is the kicker, is that my OnlyFans was not sexual. My OnlyFans was fucking singing covers. And I kept PG. Because I don't want people, I didn't sell nudes. I just didn't want to sell nudes online. That's okay. People all have their boundaries. But like, people just assume so much that I did this stuff that I was like, you don't actually know me or care or like any of these things. You just want to be able to dunk on a woman to feel better about your own life.
You know what it is? It's like guys draw a lot of like validation and ego from them getting a girl, right? And then once they get a girl, it's like, it's their girl. So then when it's only when she has OnlyFans, it almost feels like a lot of guys now have access to his girl.
It doesn't feel as exclusive.
It doesn't feel as exclusive, and it just destroys our pride and ego. Like, because we do all these things to get the girl, and now when we have her, all the guys can now see her pussy.
Do you feel that way?
Do I feel that way?
Yeah, like, would you not date a girl if she sold nudes or lewds or anything?
I think if this is it a safe space?
I might clip chimp you a little bit for TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Please do. Yeah, I think if this is a woman that I'm marrying and, like, that I'm for the rest of my life, I would prefer her to not have. I think if I'm dating around, I don't care. But if it's like, if it gets that discussion, like, yo, are we? Is this long term?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm doing that.
When you're in a relationship with a girl, do you watch porn?
Do I watch porn? Rarely. I would actually advocate for making tapes with her, and then I'll watch those with her.
Okay, I respect that. Yeah. Something I say a lot, which is kind of controversial, is that I see a woman being on OnlyFans as equivalent to a man watching porn in a relationship. Like, I don't think any, like, one is more or less exclusive than the other. And people will say, oh, well, one's, like, selling or actually showing herself while the other one's watching. And I'm like, that's only cheating if you're kind of presupposing that watching it is okay, but creating it isn't. And I always feel like women are a bit more exhibitionist than men are. Men are a bit more like voyeuristic. Like, they get off more watching, and women kind of get off more being seen. That's why men, you know, don't like when women are even like just showing their cleavage or going out to clubs. So that's why I always felt like I didn't like if men didn't want their girlfriend to be like an Instagram model or an OnlyFans model if they were also watching porn in a relationship. Do you kind of agree with that?
I think that's a strong point you're making. But again, like I told you earlier, I would like my girl to be my porn star.
Yeah.
So we made takes together, and I watched those when we're away. And
so you'd be okay if the girl you want to marry said, like, I never want you watching porn again. If you're saying to her, I don't want you to ever be on OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think if your boundaries, like, you keep it consistent between you and your partner, like, I think that's fair, because everyone has different boundaries. Like, again, even for me, it's like, I don't want anyone other than my partner to see my body, because
right.
I would feel gross. I would feel gross knowing that you're, like, jerking off to my naked body.
Right.
And it I don't know. It's tough being a woman online, because people are doing it anyways, whether or not you're naked.
Yeah. Like, if
and
you so, click your Instagram bookmark.
I can't tell you how many times I've seen, right, like, unsolicited dick pics or, like, videos of people jerking off to my pictures where I'm, like, clothed, right? And it's, like, sometimes it's, like, if people are going to do this shit anyways, like, might as well make money, right? Mm. Like, if people are going to sexualize you anyways, like, I think that's the part of me, to me, that's, like, I think empowering when women get to, like, take control of the narrative. Like, okay, I am going to, like, these are the pictures I choose to take. Mm. These are the pictures I choose to sell. And I am going to benefit from you sexualizing me. Like, I think there's, right? Instead of, like, because now you get choice over it. Like, the women have choice other than, like, it's just, like, happening against their consent. Like, a lot of this AI porn is so disgusting to me.
Completely agree, because the guys who will put down a girl for having an OnlyFans are the same guys who laugh when, like, Pokimane and these girls are crying because deepfake porn is being made of them. Or they're the same guys who go to those, like, r/nip slips and they'll, like, screenshot girls who, you know what I mean, are live streaming and then a nipple will come out. So they're not actually against seeing naked bodies. They're just against, like, you kind of pointed out, like, women profiting off.
Yeah, they're, like, just against paying for it. They're just against, like, like, women getting to benefit off of the same sexualization, which I think is, is really fucked up and unfair. And it's like, I don't know. I have a lot of different takes about all this stuff. Like, honestly, at the end of the day, I don't know. Like, social media in general and, like, OnlyFans, I don't know if this is, like, net positive or net negative for people. Maybe it is. Maybe it is fucking up people's brains. Maybe it is making people no longer know how to talk to women longer, like, be able to have normal relationships. Like, I don't know. Like, I think we're too early in this to tell. Like, we're only, like, a year or two into this. Like, humans take, like, millions of years to evolve, right? Yeah. But I just think
things are happening so fast.
Right. But it's like, I just never think the answer is to, like, shame individuals. Yeah. Like, whether it's men or women. Like, I don't think we should be shaming men, like, oh, you're a beta, you don't have sex, you're a virgin, you're paying for stuff. Or, like, the women either. It's just like, really, like, what is the problem here? If it's like, like, people aren't able to be intimate, then how can we like solve uplift it. People in a way that is productive and is not so, like, I don't know why it always has to be so divisive and it's a whole war, like, oh, men versus women and we hate each other. Like, I really hate, like, kind of like the version of feminism too that's also like, oh, all men are bad and, like, all men are trash and, like, all men, like they don't deserve rights and they should be, like, because I think that alienates men even more, right? And it just creates, like, like, when you paint another side as, like, evil and as monsters, which is just not true. We're all fucking people just trying our best. Mm-hmm. But when you do that, then it makes people, like, like, you just keep adding fire to that flame, right? And I don't think it gets us anywhere. So it's, like the productive conversations to have about OnlyFans and the nuanced takes, like, because I think there are always some validity on both sides, right? Like I also think, like, I'm part of the fact, like, the factor that thinks, like, hey, if women need to make money and this is a safe way for them to make it, by all means do that. But also, like, if someone's a fresh 18-year-old and they don't know what to do with their life, I am not going to go tell them, hey, sell your nudes online where it's going to live forever. Like, there needs to be balance with all of these things, right? And I just hate that, like, every conversation is so extreme. Like, it's either one or the other, and it's not.
Yeah.
I completely agree. I think it's super extreme. It's either that, like, OnlyFans is men exploiting women, which is usually the rad femme take, or it's the opposite, which is that, you know, the red pill take, which is that it's women exploiting men's loneliness. And it's like, what does it necessarily have to go to one or the other, that, like, one's in a position of power? Maybe there's like a societal problem that needs to be addressed. It doesn't have to be like one, you know what I mean, in a position of power of the other gender.
Yeah. Like, I think the problem is really just like a lot of people just are suffering. Like, a lot of people are lonely. A lot of people struggle to make money. And these are the things causing people to, like, be insecure and be angry and upset, right? And it's, again, it's not even about the women that are making money. It's just, it's like, maybe if we help these men, like, get jobs that made a lot of money too, like, they wouldn't even care, right? And it's just like, we just need to be, like, society and, like, the government just needs just be doing better for people in general? Like, why? Actually, why? Like, the better question is, why is it that OnlyFans is, like, the best way for some people to make a lot of money instead of, like... Like, why is it so hard to, like, go to school? Like, why do people go to school, get a fucking college degree, and still can't get a job? Like, explain that. Like, that is really the fucked up part of society to me.
I agree, yeah. And if people do think there's a problem with, like, the OnlyFans industry, it's like they should start with all the OnlyFans recruiters who are getting, like, a hefty referral fee. Like, you probably get, you know, messages in your inbox all the time that's like, hey, do you want, you know what I mean, like an agency to represent you? And they'll message any girl who's on Instagram not even showing much skin at all, just trying to get them in as soon as they turn 18. Like, that's the way bigger problem. And kind of like you pointed out, yeah, the bigger problem is like 18-year-olds who aren't sure what they're doing getting into it. But that's not really the problem that's being addressed if immediately we're jumping to the idea that, like, oh, we're, you know what I mean, exploiting male loneliness, or I don't know, women are ruining the nuclear family or anything like that.
No, you.
Passionate about this topic.
Yeah.
Do you feel like we were saying, obviously it is for male loneliness. Do you think it worsens male loneliness at all? Because now they have this like crutch. Or do you think it kind of helps them grow confidence a little bit?
I don't think it helps grow confidence. Yeah. I don't think them behind their computer, I don't think it is building male confidence.
Yeah.
I think male confidence is built through, like, again, struggle against a lot of work that needs to put into themselves. And that is not easy. And it's easy to pay $8.99.
Right. I think it's like you said, like, when it's an addiction, right? It's like everything in moderation. Like it's, I don't know, it's like things like gambling, right? Like, we were in Vegas last weekend and I don't know, I lost $30 playing fucking craps and like, am I like ruining my life? No, like it was a fun little like an hour time, you know, like it's like almost paying for entertainment to me, right? But has gambling ruined lives? Absolutely. And if people are on their computer screens, like spending all their life savings, like, you know, clicking through and not doing anything, like, of course that's bad. And of course, like you should be treating nothing like that. Like even like watching TV shows, like anything in general, like should not be an addiction. It's like go out. I mean, it's like go out and touch grass.
I think it's only gonna get worse. If I'm being honest, I think the way we're headed right now, like, I wish I could, you know, be a fucking savior. Truthfully, I just think the more, you know, like male role models that appear on YouTube, I think it does help shift it a little bit. But I don't know the speed at which both sides are rising,
right?
It just all depends on, I mean, yeah, it, like the OnlyFans side of things, like it's just getting more and more prominent, and it's just naturally it is just harder for guys to just really build themselves up,
right?
And I agree, develop. That's something I think about too, what you said, like the issue is balance. And you know, it's like how you said gambling is okay in small doses, and then same with like probably porn consumption, OnlyFans consumption is better in small doses.
Right.
But then I also think I'm profiting off the guys who are bad at that, at like pacing themselves and dosing. So as much as I can prescribe guys, hey, it's okay to go on OnlyFans but only in small doses, my business model also in a certain way kind of depends on people being not fully able to sexually regulate themselves. So I was going to ask, do you feel that way?
It's I mean, but that's the thing. That's why I almost think the problem is like capitalism, because I think capitalism incentivizes people to keep doing bad things for themselves. Like, again, if you think about social media, like maybe this is a controversial take, but actually I am more afraid of TikTok ruining people's like minds than I am of like OnlyFans, actually, because TikTok I think is way more addicting. Like look at your screen time between OnlyFans and TikTok. I bet TikTok is more. And it's like I'm seeing kids fucking like 8-year-olds, I go to the park and they're just filming themselves dancing. They're looking at it and they're like frowning. They're like, oh, I don't look good. They're filming it again. Yeah. I'm like, that cannot be good for your brains, right? Like getting so used to like having what, like, being 8 or 10 or like 13, blowing up, getting used to like what people are saying about how you look, your body, like so on and so forth. And it's like TikTok or like Twitter, like Facebook, anything, they are incentivized to keep you addicted to them because that's how they make money. The longer you watch these YouTube videos, right, and that's why they keep you in the loophole of like, oh, the algorithm, the more they make money from advertisers, right? Like they want to take up as much as your brain space as they can, and like there's just no regulation for any of this, right? And that's why, like, yeah, TikTok is making so much fucking money, and it scares me because I don't know, I feel like I actually feel like sometimes when I hang out with TikTokers, I'm gonna be so honest, like they don't seem like real people to me. Sometimes they seem like a fucking caricature. Like they seem like it's like an archetype. Like, you know, when you watch Family Guy and you're like, oh yeah, Peter, or like, you know, whatever character is just like this one dimensional thing that has been written and like spits out the same lines. I almost feel that with TikTokers sometimes because they're so used to giving the audience this one thing.
Like one side, yeah.
Yeah, that like even in real life, I'm talking to them and like everything feels like a punchline. I'm like, can you talk to me like a person? But I feel like people are really losing their capacity to like talk to each other because there is no separation between what is real world and what is online. And like there are people I hang out with where it's constantly like, oh, let's film this for this thing, or like, oh, this would be so great for this. And it's like the camera is never off. And it almost that really scares me so much.
Yeah, like people seeking out real world experiences to like bring it online.
Yeah. Like content becomes more important than like living.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the dopamine rush. I'm no better. I'm filming this podcast. We're gonna find clips that's gonna you know, give the highest little the dopamine spike.
Right, that's true. But even this, like, right, we do it in moderation. We meet up once or twice a week or whatever, and we when we talk on the podcast, we talk on the podcast. But like we have our side conversations before and after. We eat dinner, we hang out, we debrief.
You can like turn it off versus the TikTokers are saying they're but always like, in that mode.
And this is half joking, like no shade to the podcasters we know, but there are podcasters I hang out with where like we start having conversation. They're like, no, that's interesting. You can't say it now. You gotta wait for the camera. You can't talk about it now. We gotta record it. And I'm like, oh my God, dude, can we hang out?
Yeah.
They're like, no, you're not allowed to have fun. Only boring conversation right now. I'm like,
save that for the podcast.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
but that to an extreme for some people.
That's funny.
Yeah. That's funny. Do you think it's because like podcasting isn't your main job kind of, but for them it's like, you know what I mean? They have to find something all the time.
I guess. Yeah. Again, it's like, right, it should be a hobby, right? Like porn.
But
like,
the thing is, it does become a job though, you know? And that's where it's
like that's what's unhealthy. Like all social media should kind of be more hobby than career. Oof. So people can like maintain normal social interactions.
Yeah, it's really tough.
It's tough. It's tough when that becomes their livelihood and they now need to live off of that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So maybe that little joke that you said, you need to save it. So this man can eat.
No, and I get it, but I still think, I mean, with any job too, like, you go to, right, like a job is a big part of your life. You go there like 40 hours a week, 9 to 5, whatever. Mm. You spend most of your day there. But then when you get home, you debrief and you spend time with your family. Yeah. You spend time with your friends. And it just can't, all I'm saying is it can't be 24/7. Yeah. But some people, it is 24/7 now.
Yeah.
Like a lot of streamers that I know, right? Like they get famous streaming Valorant or something. And they'll tell me like, I can't even play it. Like that's a game they used to love and they can't even play it for fun anymore. Because if they play it, they have to be online. They have to be streaming. Yeah. Otherwise they're wasting it. And it should be able, you should be able to do both, right? Like you should be able to, have fun conversations on the pod and have fun conversations off the pod. Right.
The way you describe TikTokers, do you feel like streamers are kind of the opposite? Like they can be more themselves both in person and then on stream because they have to stream for such long hours. They're not necessarily chasing those highlight reels as much. Because that's what I've heard some people say.
It's different, but again, this is not every person. It's only like the people that are very stream. But there are also streamers I know that like live life for their camera. Like we'll like be at a party, we'll hang out, and immediately the next day it's like, what happened at the party last night? Like and it almost feels like they were trying to do crazy things in order to have things to talk about on stream later. Yeah. Right? So or like all the friendships that they have is for the sake of content. Like sometimes it becomes I don't know. So there's both. There are people that balance it really well, and there are people that don't, and this is for any platform really.
I like it where sometimes the having fun is primary and then the content comes secondary.
Yeah.
So where it's like, this last weekend we had was so incredibly fun.
Right.
And then after the fact, we could also talk about it on the podcast.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like but I felt so in the moment this past week. I had like I said, this is one of the best weekends of my life.
Yeah. And
I think that's how it should be
carried.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, I think that's why I love Twitter so much as a platform because it's so non-instantaneous to me, actually. It's like I go on my dates and then like months later, sometimes I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a funny thing that I could, that was a really funny date, actually, that I could talk about, right? But it's like every moment gets, it's really, yeah, like being present in the moment is so important. And I just feel like people lose that.
Yeah. Are most of your guys' friends in the industry?
Yeah.
They all kind of have the same mindset as you. You feel like they can all be present, or do you have like a good amount who are kind of on the other end?
It's like, I mean, now living in LA, most of the people are. You know, in, but I felt like this weekend was a little bit of mix, right? It was some people that are just, you know, everyday people.
Right.
And some people are, you right. know, in the industry, they get it.
Right.
But yeah, it like this weekend also, like nobody was fucking putting TikToks.
Yeah. No, I think all of my friends, and I mean, right, like I'm self-selective. Like I can only hang out with people that like, I feel like also... are balanced or present in the moment. Like I can't hang out with people where I feel like they're just doing the one thing and it's constant.
Yeah.
Right. Like I don't know how to talk to you either.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's harder to connect with people outside the industry? Cause I feel like for me it's hard because like the problems I have, like if I have like
right.
issues, it's kind of hard to talk about with people who aren't in the industry because right. they either sound like super niche and glamorous. Right. Or like dramatic, and then they right. kind of just sensationalize a little bit.
But that's like, only like yeah. one way to connect with someone. It's like, you know, you're
problem sharing.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, like just sometimes just the way you guys, you know, like banter. Sense
of humor, yeah.
Yeah, right. The way you guys move around, the way you guys, your hobbies. It's so many different ways right. to connect with someone. But but yeah, I don't think so. I think I could, you know, if a cool person is a cool person, I could connect with them. Yeah.
I think most of my friends are either like creators or founders. And it's kind of, well, part of it is just like, well, that's where you meet, right? If you go to a creator event or like a tech event, like that's where you end up meeting these people. And then, yes, you have a lot of common. So it's kind of like when you're in college, all your friends are also in college with you. It's kind of like the same thing. You all have something in common and you get to see each other a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like it's hard also because like I have a pretty open schedule or like sporadic schedule. So it's sometimes hard to find friends if they're on a totally different time schedule.
Right.
Same with dating. So I was actually going to ask you guys, do you feel like you would only kind of date someone in the industry so you guys can have like similar goals and schedules?
That's interesting.
I've had experiences with both. Sometimes dating someone in the industry could be really fun. They might, you know, share the same... you know, passions as you, but then sometimes they that could also be a crossroad where it's like you might not even have time for each other where they're like also really busy and you know that's not sustainable for a relationship where you're supposed to hang out with each other. I don't know what about you, you went on a decent amount of dates how that
so none of them because they were all off Hinge, none of them were in the industry and I felt like it just none of it clicked and I don't know if it's just because I don't know they were just like 60 random dudes from the Westwood area or because they weren't in the industry or what.
Westwood area
yeah but I found when I started going on dates with people in the industry we just clicked better and I think because there's just like a base level of understanding because with people not in the industry again I don't know if it's like the jealousy thing or genuinely like maybe they genuinely do look down on a little bit but they're always like what are you gonna do when social media doesn't work out and you feel like at least I feel like I have to kind of explain myself more versus if I'm going on a date with like a TikToker or a YouTuber or a streamer like I can just skip past all that where versus with other people in the industry they already have that like entrepreneurialness they already have that creativity so there's always that baseline understanding
but
Were the people on Hinge always just had that kind of outlook of like oh what are you gonna do like what,
Not necessarily always cynical sometimes but I also don't want to be on a date with someone who kind of like sensationalizes my life like if they're just like always all the time like oh that's so cool because then that makes it hard for me it's also
because you just want to be treated like a person too.
Yeah, and let's say someone swipes on me because they recognize me from like TikTok or a podcast or something. Now I'm like wondering, I'm fine dating someone who like is already familiar with my content, but I'm wondering like, okay, are they just swiping? Because I'd probably swipe on someone if I recognize them just because it's kind of cool. It's like, oh, cool, I want to talk to this person.
Right.
But then you always have in the back of your head, you know, if they're kind of like, oh, can I come to this thing with you? Like you're, I don't know, maybe I'm just more paranoid, but I'm always a little bit more worried, especially being in LA.
Right.
If it was anywhere else in the world, it'd be kind of different, but being in LA, because there's so many people here, like, trying to make it, trying to, like, glean connections, I get a little bit worried.
Oh, no, so many people here are very, I mean, clout chasing and, like, only want to be with you if you are beneficial to them in some way or, like, have numbers. So, yeah, this is interesting to me, because I feel both. Like, I dated a founder before, and then I was like, damn, I never want to date a founder again because we're always so fucking stressed and, like, to your point, like, never had time for each other. Mm-hmm. But I'm dating someone right now who is a founder and a creator. Mm. And I actually really like that because I feel so understood. I feel like they get both parts of my life, and they help me, like, grow in both parts. Or, like, we help each other grow in both parts, right? Because we're constantly giving each other ideas. And at the same time, yeah, like, we're also always stressed out and, like, don't have a lot of, like, emotional capacity. And it's a balance. But I wonder. I mean, I'll have to try. But, like, could I date just, like, sometimes I'm like, yeah, like I just want to be the normal 9-to-5 girlfriend that, like, can come home and, like, cook for us. Or, like, vice versa. They're just the 9-to-5 boyfriend and can just, like, give me massages when I'm stressed. Like, that sounds nice, too.
I think dating in this industry is just tough in general.
Yeah.
I don't think it's set up for success. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's, because there's so many factors pulling us away from actually, like, genuine human connection with a partner, and intimate relationships require, like, that kind of connection, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, us, we get exposed to so many different attractive people all the time. Our schedules are super sporadic, and, you know, we're not thinking about said person all the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, I don't think it's set up for success. I think if we, like, in our 30s, once I'm gonna manually make sure my 30s are gonna be a little bit more normal than it is now. That's why I wanna, like, make as much money as I can now. Yes. And then when I'm 30, I'm settled down and a little bit more, like, have time for
grounded,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. The other struggle I have with, like, dating or even just friendships in the industry, kind of like you described, you'll be at dinner with a podcaster and he'll be like, let's save this for a stream. Like, again, streamers are, like, their own universe, but I've had that with either, like, dating or being friends with streamers. Like, they'll just, like, drama farm me, or, you know, like, I
drama
would
drama farm,
yeah, oh, like, I
drama farm, yeah, okay,
yeah, like, I had an experience last month where I left my OnlyFans agency, and it was kind of traumatic. It was very, like, dramatic and stuff, and I was staying with one of my streamer friends, and I was just, like, crying the whole week, and I was like, I don't want to be on stream, and she's, like, a big Twitch streamer, and she just kept, like, recording me while I was crying, like, following me around the camera.
What?
And I don't even blame her, because she's been doing Twitch for so long that her brain is so wired towards content instead of, like, being supportive or thinking about my digital footprint. And, like, I said, I like to be very curated online. I'm not a streamer.
Right.
But I think she's used to streamers where that would kind of maybe be, like, beneficial.
No, because that's what they do. Yeah. They break up live on stream together.
Though. Yeah. Like, yeah. They have, like, a mutual understanding that, you know what I mean, these events are worth monetizing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that can be the difficulty with dating. The other thing is, like, I'm attracted to people in the industry for, like I said, they have, like, the same schedule. We have the same goals. But then also I feel like I can be kind of unattracted to guys in the industry, because a lot of, like, TikToker guys or YouTuber guys are a little bit more, like, vain and narcissistic and, like, image focused.
Mm-hmm. No.
And maybe it's hypocritical to feel this way, but I find it a little bit of a turnoff if, like, I don't know, guys are a little bit too obsessed with, like, the way they look, or, you know, if a guy's just, like, sitting reading his, like, Reddit or YouTube comments all day and just overthinking what people think about him. I don't know. I just find it pretty unattractive. Do you feel that way at all?
Look, I feel like I've become a little aware of my narcissism. And I feel like becoming aware makes me go, like, huh, maybe I'm spending too much time doing this. I should stop. So I'd be aware of it. Like, if you're a YouTuber, TikToker, just know that, like, this whole thing is set up. Like, the reason why you're doing this is because you're kind of narcissistic. Like, you're
know.
So just be aware of that, and just try to control that as much as you can.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this is interesting. This is something I've said before, but, like, I feel like creators and, like, founders too are all just inherently a little narcissistic, because you have to be in order to be, like, I'm, like, funny enough, or I'm attractive, or I'm whatever, that I'm gonna put it online for a lot of people to see, and they follow me and they like it. Like, you have to have that kind of confidence in yourself, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but, like, to your point, just keep it in check. Like, like, at the end of the day, you're just perfect. You're just a person.
Yeah.
You're not perfect. Mm-hmm. You're, like, honestly, you're like anybody else, right? Like when I go out, like, make time for people. Like, if someone is, like, someone at the supermarket wants to, like, have a conversation with you, have a conversation with people. Like, it's not that serious, you know?
That's a good point, Like, to be in the industry, you have to already believe that what you have to say is, like, worth saying and, like, worth putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the thing that I find a turn off is if they care too much about the audience reaction, but maybe that's tied to it.
Right.
I don't know. Do you guys feel like you're, like, dependent on your fan reactions at all? Do you feel like even if 100% of people hate your video or content, you won't tailor it because you're just so sure in your vision for yourself at this point?
I think I'm gonna tailor it. I think personally for me, it's like, it's like the audience, the comments, as much as I don't want it to, it has an effect on like how I feel. Oh, it has, yeah, on my, yeah, mood. So like, yeah, if it's not well received, then like, right, maybe I might sit with myself for a little bit.
Right. I mean, I think feedback is important, right? Like, mm-hmm, I'm never like, yeah, I think that's too narcissistic when you're like, oh, if everybody hates what I'm saying, it's still right. Like,
yeah,
there's probably some validity in what people are saying. So like, yeah, with like comments, like I think I will, like when I first post something, I'll kind of like scroll through or like see what like the overall sentiment is, right? And like, if there's a lot of people that are like, oh, you can't say this or this is bad or something, like then I'll like correct that because that's important to know. But if it's like generally generally positive and like there's a couple people here saying this or that, like I'm not gonna go through every single comment and like change myself to please every single person. Like I think, yeah, that's when it gets impossible to do and like toxic for yourself. Like you cannot, yeah, like I'm not going on Reddit, I'm not like scrolling through every single comment all the time. It's just like when I post a thing, like a tweet or whatever, I'm like quick like scroll for like a minute just to see like the sentiment, and then I go on about my day.
Yeah. So you were saying if some people, like if an overwhelming majority of people are like, oh, this is bad, we don't agree with this, right, you'll think about it. Do you ever feel like sometimes audiences could be like over-scrutinizing and you could think like, okay, they're just sensitive?
Yeah.
Like, do you have your own list of like, this is what I consider bad? And even if 99% of people are like, this is offensive, you won't change it? I don't know if that makes sense.
I mean, like with, right, like being sexual online, like there's always people that are like, yeah, there's always people that are like, oh, your parents must be so disappointed. You're like, whatever the fuck. And it's like, yeah, this is something I've already decided for myself that it's not wrong to be sexual. It's not wrong to talk about sex. It's not wrong to have conversations about sex. And this is not harming people, right?
Yeah.
So when those comments come up, like whatever, but it's, I don't know, but it's never like 99% of the comments are like that, right? Like, and I think that's to the point that like, people are agreeing with you too because there are people that feel this way. There are people that feel seen, that feel heard, that feel validated in these conversations. And that's why it's important and meaningful to me. Like, I feel like if I'm doing something and it's not benefiting anyone at all, then what's the point?
Right.
Like, that's the point of content creation, right? It's like feeling like you get to make someone laugh or you get to help someone or like, yeah, like make them feel seen or heard. Like, that's the whole point to me.
I think there was a sentiment. There was a joke about me. What was it? I said this joke, or this thing. I basically, it was like, oh, I'm an advocate for like safe dicks, right? The safe dick movement, right?
What does that mean?
So it's like a penis. You know, it's like important. You see all these big dicks, and like you see these girls that's like just kind of taking it, and it looks like it hurts, right? So I'm like man, I have a safe dick, right? It's comfortable and it's nice. And I think a lot of people took it as like, oh, he's an Asian guy. Of course he has a safe dick, right? It's like a lot. So that was like one thing that I would say some backlash on. Mm-hmm. Is a lot of guys from like the Asian community was not a fan of it because I was almost an advocate for like small dicks.
Oh, they thought you were like stereotyping.
Right, exactly. But that was just like, I don't care. Like I've jokes about my dick being 4 inches, 5 inches. It's just like, I'm just comfortable with just being my, like, okay, yeah, I happen to be Asian. If I'm white, I have my dick is like, I will still say it, you know, but it's just, that was something that I just stuck with, that I didn't like cater like the next day or like, no guys, I'm just kidding, you know?
So they felt like you were shitting on yourself in like a way that felt like internalized racism kind of, exactly. They were like, oh, you're making fun of yourself for like white people, kind of? Is that kind
no
of
I'm making fun of myself because like I'm like a self-hating Asian guy. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't fucking get it.
Yeah. Did you like put out a response and explain it all?
No, I didn't. I just kept going with the running joke. Just kept going with that. But I've like saw a couple of Reddit posts. I was like, go fuck yourself, man.
What was like the, I don't know, what was like the common thread between all the Reddit posts? Like, what was like the main thing they were saying?
Just the like self-hating Asian guy.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
Was there a moment where you like sat and reflected, you're like, oh, am I self-hating? Or were you always like from the minute like, no, these people don't know what they're saying?
For a second, I'm like, yo, is this bad for the community? Am I doing bad for my people? For a second, I did think of that. Like, maybe this is like not the best move. And quite frankly, I think a part of me did kind of internalize that, but it wasn't like it wasn't like my leading movement now. Because yeah. when I first put out that video, like I joked about it. Ah! Sorry. Oh, you got him.
Yeah, I did get that fucker. Sorry, I bothered him. I was like, I need to kill this fly. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's very important to me.
But then, yeah. I think. I'm sorry, you're in. No, you're all good. But I think eventually I had a couple better movements.
Thanks, Gabe.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I think that's important. Like, the reflection of, like, am I harming people? I think content creators, we have that responsibility to make sure we're not promoting hate, to not promoting things that will, like, hurt people, right? But if you can answer that question for yourself, then, like, keep on.
Yeah,
that's something I struggle with because, like, I used to kind of do, like, comedy content before I did the dating content. I would get a lot of hate if I did, like, too edgy of a joke or something. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard for me to parse through because I was doing kind of, like, satire, but some people were still, like, you can't talk about certain topics, even if it's satirical. Even if you're saying in a way where you're making fun of people for being racist, they still thought. So for me, I have such a, like, skewed perception of, like, audience feedback now because now I think a lot of audiences, I don't know, maybe I'm kind of like slightly conservative watched in this way where I'm kind of worried, like, sometimes audiences just want to get you on like a knee in one way or another.
What
like
was the joke?
I don't remember specifically. Like, I used to make so many because I would just like script like 6-minute videos a week about a specific topic and it was just all dry humor and stuff.
Yeah. Right.
But I don't know, some were like self-deprecating race jokes, things like that. Right, but I don't know. Now it's really hard for me because now
I guess kind of like the penis joke is like, like, people get at you for...
Sort of, yeah. And I guess I just started to see audiences as a little bit sensitive.
I think I agree with this, actually. I think social media makes people very unempathetic, right? I think people say stuff that they wouldn't say in person. And I think they're over... I think a lot of people are overly judgmental and overly critical. Yeah. Like, if this was, like, their friend or someone they know in real life, they're going to be like, oh, whatever, they made a mistake. But when it's, like, online... there's so much of this, like... oh, I am morally better than you and I'm gonna morally dunk on you to like feel better about myself. Like, I see that happen in so many things. Mm-hmm. Like the most like harmless little TikTok video of like, oh, this mom is like filling up, I don't know, like drinks for her like autistic kid. And people are like, oh, look at these. Like, she's creating like, she's the type of mom that's creating like men that can't do anything. Like, oh, that kid is useless.
Yeah.
Like all these assumptions about people that you don't know and saying like the most awful things about people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I see that all the time. And sometimes I get, I don't know. I think I can tell when it's like in bad faith. Like, these people are just like they don't know you and they're just trying to say things to feel better or like project or whatever. Like, and here's an interesting example. So one tweet that reminds me of is, I made this tweet. Have you guys seen Squid Game? It's this Korean drama that was like on Netflix and very big. But it was like, right, like usually with anime or anything, like you watch it with subtitles, right? Because their original voice is better.
Yeah.
And like dubbed is usually shit.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I made this tweet where I was like, people are watching Squid Game dubbed? ? Like, just like in all caps. Yeah, yeah. I was just like in shock because I played it dubbed just to like see what it was like, and it was so bad. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then there were a bunch of people started commenting, and not the majority, right? But like a good amount of people that were like, this is such an ableist take. They're like, you're ableist because people are blind. Not everyone can read subtitles. So fuck you for saying this because some people need to watch things dubbed. And I was just like,
okay, yeah, it wasn't that serious.
I was like, obviously, I'm not talking about blind people. If you are blind and you need to watch a dub, watch a dub.
Right. But that's like, not the point you're making.
But but if people can choose to watch things dubbed or subbed and you're constantly watching your anime dubbed, I'm going to give you a look. That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're acting like the majority of people watching it dubbed are blind.
And that's like, and it was very, just, but I was just like, this is a very insincere thing to like take this tweet out of context and be like, I'm dissing on blind people. Because literally, if you're in a movie theater and someone is like, oh, this dub sucks or something, you're not going to go and be like, oh, you hate blind people. Yeah, you don't turn around and say that to people. But online, suddenly people do that. And I think that's, it's a little interesting thing that people like to do to like feel better. Like, I'm holier than thou.
No, it's stupid.
I
think it all stems from, you know, like cancel culture. When people start canceling people for the R word or the F word or stuff like that. And it's just like, the dub sucks. Dub sucks. It sounds
like,
terrible.
Listen, I think there are a lot of things that are valid, right? Like, like racism, like transphobia, discrimination, absolutely, like hold people accountable. Yeah. But But there's but if it feels like again, they're looking for so it, yeah. unserious. Yeah, they're looking for something to like, oh, gotcha yeah. for mm-hmm. and that's just, that's no longer productive.
Did you ratio them?
No, I just block people. I'm just like, this is not worth my time.
Oh, you just block them?
Yeah. That's cool. I'm a big advocate of blocking. I'm like, to me, it's like, dude, there's a fly on my Sour Patch. Like, the fuck? Take 2 seconds. Done. Out of here. I don't know. Like, I don't want to look at that anymore. Just like, yeah. like you're going to stress me out on my phone? I don't think so. Block. Yeah. Block.
Wow. That was a fun little discussion. Farha? Thank you for coming on today's podcast.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
No, it's been a great time having two very smart women on the podcast. Aww. And two very articulate women. I felt the presence of queens today. And that doesn't make me like some beta bitch just because I said they're you know what I'm saying? No, I appreciate your time. Aww. Both of you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on, Farha. Do you want to, any last words you want to say to the audience? Anything you want to promote?
Like, this is a red pill podcast, but would you call this like is there other pills? Like, why do we all got to take just the red one? Is there a purple one?
She seemed blue pill, you seemed red pill, so I would say there's a red pill, I mean a purple pill forming okay. here. Yeah.
Cool, cool. Good
yeah.
color.
Yeah, purple.
Good color.
For sure.
Hell yeah.
What's your audience like? Like, is it mostly men, women, liberal?
I think it's like 80% guys, like 20-something percent.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I didn't know that. I assumed it was mostly women. I should have pandered more. Well, I should have done more OnlyFans plugs, but it's okay.
Yeah, I feel like met.
Exactly.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.